The hymn that many of you are familiar with come from Psalm 46. In regards to the hymn, perhaps some of you don't know, that was a hymn that was written by Martin Luther. In fact, Martin Luther was prolific in his writings. He has over 600 titles, and 36 of those titles are hymns, but A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is far and away the most well-known and popular of those hymns. It was indeed based on Psalm 46, and it's a celebration of the sovereign power of God over all earthly and spiritual forces, and of the sure hope that we have in Him because of Christ. Now, following its publication during the time of the Reformation, it became very popular, and it's still popular to this day. There are different theories on why he wrote that particular hymn, but most historians agree that he wrote that hymn because of the circumstances that he was facing. And it wasn't the circumstances of the Reformation he was facing, but rather in October of 1527, there was the plague approaching where he lived. And so I see it as God's providence that we have aligned the preaching of this psalm with the state of affairs in our country and in our world. And I don't think we should overlook that. We have experienced a global pandemic, which has given rise to fears and apprehensions, perhaps like some of us have never seen before. This psalm is one that is particularly appropriate in times of large-scale fear, in which we, as the people of God and the people around us and the citizens of this world, look for something that will provide a sense of safety and security. Well, what Psalm 46 teaches us and reminds us and exhorts us with is the truth that safety and security are not found in something. They're not found somewhere, but they're found rather in somebody. Main idea for the sermon this morning coming out of Psalm 46 is very simply this. God is present as a strong refuge for his people. They need not fear. God is present as a strong refuge for his people. They need not fear. Let's read Psalm 46 together. I know you've already read it this morning in unison. Follow along in your Bibles or on your devices as I read Psalm 46. This is the word of the Lord. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this psalm. And I would pray right now that, Father God, as we consider the declarations of trust that are part of this psalm in the face of the difficulties, in the face of the fear that those troubles have brought, I pray, Father God, you would, by your Spirit, help us to understand these and embrace them. I pray that you would take these truths and penetrate them deep into our mind and our hearts, that in our times of trial, when we face fear, we will be able to speak as the psalmist did, and declare that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I pray, Father God, by your Spirit, that you would Help us to see Jesus. Help us to understand how Jesus and all that he did is the fulfillment of what we read in Psalm 46. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Let's start by looking at the first three verses where we see that God is a refuge and a strength and a hope. We see in these first three verses of this psalm a general declaration of trust in the midst of fearful circumstances. In fact, one commentary notes that this psalm begins with a burst of confidence and notes three things in which we find that confidence. That is, that God is a refuge, God is our strength, and he is our help. What is a refuge? A refuge is any type of shelter that provides protection from nature or war or any other difficulty. And Psalm 46 tells us that God is our shelter, that he protects us. And it also indicates that to take refuge in God is to trust him for his protection. And so God being a refuge is part of this burst of confidence we see in these first three verses. But God's strength is another thing. Now, the word strength is less concrete than refuge is. It can denote any material, physical, personal, social, or political might. In regards to whatever sphere is under consideration, to have strength is to have vitality and vigor and power and potency in regards to that sphere. That's why odors can be strong, but so can opinions. That's why someone's influence can be powerful, but so can someone's bench press. Well, we need to understand that God, in all situations, in all scenarios, in all circumstances, is strong. In fact, his vitality and vigor, his potency and power are immeasurably great. And that strength, his strength, is employed for the protection and care of his people. And that as we state this or sing it in a song, it is a declaration of trust. The third part of this foundation in which the psalmist gives this burst of confidence is the fact that God is our help. What a lovely, memorable, impactful phrase. A very present help in trouble. More literally, it would be said like this. In trouble, he will be found a help exceedingly. Or a help in troubles, he is to be found abundantly. But our translators gave us something wonderful here. He is a very present help in trouble. Now, to help, according to the Bible, according to Psalm 46, is to provide what someone lacks or to do for someone what they cannot do for themselves. That's not how we use the term help usually, or the term helper. When we use this word, we often consider the one who is helping us to be weaker, less able, and less competent. They are just giving us a hand while we do the brunt of the work. If I'm going to lift a piece of furniture and I ask my kids to help, in my mind, they are providing less of the work and I am providing more of it. I am the chief worker. They are coming alongside to help me. We need to understand that God is not a help in that way. God is a help in that we look to him to do what we cannot do. We look to him to accomplish what is beyond us. We trust him to protect us because we are at the mercy of the trouble and the difficulty that we are facing. When we think of God helping us, don't think of little Johnny helping Dad with the chores. Think of Einstein helping you with a math equation. Think of Martin Luther helping you to understand grace. Think of Michael Jordan being your teammate in a 2-on-2 game of pickup basketball. And then multiply that many, many times over. That is how God helps us. So he is a refuge and he is a strength and he is a help. Well, what do we need those things for? Well, we need them for troubles. God is help. God is strength. God is a refuge in the midst of troubles. Well, what are the troubles? Well, in this psalm, we get three images from the natural world. And they're given to demonstrate God's protective power in a general way. There's a disintegrating earth. There's movable mountains. There's chaotic seas. And these images, this imagery of nature's upheaval portrays the many different troubles we might face, from which only divine protection will suffice. The earth, which is foundational for our living, is giving way. The mountains, which are normally nature's representation of all that is secure and immovable, are being tossed about. And the seas, often a symbol of the world in Scripture, are roaring and foaming and swelling. These images depicting trouble are a general representation of the many trials we might walk through. They represent natural disasters and global conflicts, political chaos and relational upheaval, personal uncertainty or danger, whether that be physical, spiritual, emotional, or mental. These are the troubles we face. But in the face of these troubles, there's a declaration. We will not fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I'll remind you again, when we see the word therefore, we need to ask ourselves a question. What is the therefore, therefore? Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Why will we not fear? It's because of who God is. He is our refuge and our strength and our help. He's present as we face these troubles. It is because God is present, being that strong refuge for his people, that we will not fear. Now, the psalmist moves in the next three verses, verses 4 through 7, from the general ideas conveyed in verses 1 through 3 to more specific situation that he speaks about in verses 4 through 7. We see in it another declaration of trust, as the psalmist has moved from generalities to specifics. And in this specific situation, we see that God provides his protection through his presence. Now, this specific situation involves the city of God, Jerusalem. God's presence was closely associated with the city, Jerusalem. This is where God's holy dwelling, the temple, was built. And it's where the tabernacle eventually rested in the time of David. Jerusalem was the dwelling place of the Most High. Now, Jerusalem had a source of water, a spring, which is almost certainly the river that the psalmist is talking about here. Water would gush forth from this spring, and the Israelites would direct that water into pools, like the Pool of Siloam that we read about in the New Testament. Now, these pools would ensure the citizens of the city would always have water. Thus, the water in God's city represented God's provision for God's people in difficult times, times of drought or when their city was under siege. And just as that river, that spring, made the people of God's city glad through the provision, so God was the source of provision for his people that would gladden their hearts with his protection in tumultuous times. And God's provision of protection is linked to his presence. Because God was present in his city, the people would have protection provided for them. Now, Jerusalem is a specific example. And this specific example in the mind of the psalm elicits another declaration of trust. He says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We see in that declaration another image, the image of dawn. And the psalmist uses this image of dawn to connect the presence of God and his provision of protection, which leads to this declaration. You know, that imagery that we think about with dawn as a picture or a representation of coming salvation is very common. There are many different instances where you could think of dawn representing the coming of salvation. But one that I thought immediately comes from the epic story by J.R.R. Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings. And he employs this symbol in talking about a great battle during that epic story called the Battle of the Hornburg. The battle had been waged all through the night, and the protagonists were in peril. This is what Tolkien writes. Éomer and Aragorn leaned wearily on their swords. Away on the left, the crash and clamor of the battle on the rock rose loud again, but the Hornburg still held fast like an island in the sea. Its gates lay in ruin, but over the barricade of beams and stones within, no enemy as yet had passed. Aragorn looked at the pale stars and at the moon, now sloping behind the western hills that enclose the valley. "This is a night as long as years," he said. "How long will the day tarry?" "Dawn is not far off," said Gamli, who had now climbed up beside him. "But dawn will not help us, I fear." "Yet dawn is ever the hope of men," said Aragorn. And that's so true. Dawn is that which brings light into the darkness of our situation as a picture of hope. And it was a symbol of hope of salvation in the trilogy of the Ring, and it is so in scriptures as well. Think of Genesis 1, the very first dawn in which the chaos and darkness were dispelled by the light. Go to Exodus 14, where it was at dawn when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and were delivered from the pursuing Egyptians. In fact, the messianic expectations of Israel are also connected to dawn, and we can see that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. We read, "Now when he," that is Jesus, "heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." This picture of the dawn is a picture of the hope of coming salvation. And specifically in regards to what the psalmist has written and the specific situation they're in, they are in the middle of menacing earthly powers, the raging nations who have threatened God's people. And yet they look to God who, like the rising of the sun, will rise in his presence and dispel the darkness of danger and the chaos of crisis. This, the protective presence of God, is behind the declarations of trust we see in verse 4 through 7. And then the psalmist moves to verse 8 through 11. "Come behold." In these verses, we hear yet another declaration of trust, which now points to an example of God's protecting work. It is very likely that this psalm was written in response to a military battle experienced by the Israelites, a battle that took place at Jerusalem. The psalmist calls all people to come behold the works of the Lord. Now, God's works are his distinctive actions that only he performs, especially in saving and sustaining his people. The call to come behold goes out to God's people as well as to those who are God's enemies. For God's people, the call to come and see is a call to observe his workings of what's called desolations against the enemy who had endangered his people in Jerusalem. They were to see that he brought peace and demonstrated his protective presence. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God destroyed the enemy and all their means of making war. But this call, come behold, is also a call that goes out to God's enemies. They're to acknowledge the powerful protection of God for his people. And with this knowledge, they are to worship him even as his people do. God speaks to those who are not his people, "Be still. Stop your fighting. Stop your raging. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. And this morning, the call still goes out to those who are part of God's people as well as those who are not. A call still goes out to those who have believed and trusted in Christ and to those who have not. And the call is to come, behold the works of the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Both believer and unbeliever this morning are called to come and see what the Lord has done. It's interesting as we talk about fear, as we talk about this psalm where God's character and actions are extolled. He is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. The declaration is made, we will not fear. Well, there is one fear that is universal amongst human beings. It's a fear that we have seen most clearly, at least in my lifetime, in the last 5 months, and that's the fear of death. Around the world, the real concern isn't about catching a virus, is it? It's about dying. And this universal fear brings this psalm home this morning. A psalm in which great difficulties are faced, but in which the psalmist declares the truths about who God is and declares his trust in God, saying, "We will not fear." Well, this morning we look to the works of the Lord through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the same way. We look to him as our help and our strength and our present help in regards to the troubles. And it's through him we will not fear. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 tells us this. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he, that is Jesus himself, likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Both of believers and unbelievers this morning are called to come and behold the works of the Lord in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. One of the things Jesus Christ did in his sacrificial death and then in his resurrection was destroying that which every human being fears, death. And he delivered his people from the fear of death and the enslavement they had. Now, we don't just behold his works, but we believe and trust in them as well. And if you're here this morning and you're a believer, the call goes out to you this morning to come, behold the works of the Lord in the life, death, and resurrection of the Son, Jesus Christ, and put your faith and trust in him. And if you're an unbeliever this morning, the same call goes out to you. Come, behold the works of the Lord in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and put your faith and trust in him. Let me finish this morning with three applications. And all three of these applications are in regards to the fears that we face. Whatever it is you're struggling with this morning, whether it is this global pandemic, for many people this is still a very difficult thing. But perhaps you have relational issues or mental health issues or physical ailments which are causing you fear. Perhaps there's something going on at work or at school which is causing you to fear. Let's take Psalm 46 and apply it this morning. First of all, let me encourage you in the face of fear to make declarations of trust. I can't tell you how many times I have quoted these exact verses as I faced some fear. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I've repeated those words to myself walking into a hospital to meet a friend who had cancer. I've repeated those words to myself walking into a room to meet with parents who had lost their young child. In situations where, to be honest, I was scared out of my wits. I made these declarations of trust. I remember when my youngest daughter was born. And as we were, my wife was in labor, we were in the hospital, and we had a doctor, but it was one of his residents who was actually preparing to catch my daughter. And I saw the doctor get agitated, and I saw him shove the intern out of the way, and I remember being scared, what's going on here? And I remember thinking, God is my refuge, and God is my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Now understand, this isn't magic. It's not an incantation which you just say and it happens. No, this is preaching to yourself. This is reminding yourself of the truths of who God is and the promises God has made to you from Scripture. And I want to encourage you as you face difficult situations to make these scriptural declarations of trust so that the great truths and the great promises that are inherent in them become a reality for you. Secondly, we need to patiently look for the dawn of our final salvation. We haven't arrived yet. There are still brutally difficult things that people go through. I shared with First Service a discussion I had earlier on this morning, just in recognizing that North Park, one of the churches in the city, had 9 people die from COVID-19. This world is still a difficult place. There are trials, there are difficulties, and we need to patiently keep our eyes on the horizon, waiting for the dawn of salvation, which will happen when Christ returns. And at that time, there will be no more darkness. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain and no more suffering. And there'll be nothing to fear. And we need to patiently wait for that day. Third, come, behold. We need to constantly be coming and beholding the works of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to anchor our hearts and our minds and our souls to what God has done in Jesus Christ. And we do that by looking at them over and over and over again, daily coming and beholding the works of the Lord. As it was in that great work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, where really the summation of all that we fear was dealt with. And it was dealt with finally, and his resurrection proved it. And so we need to constantly come and behold the works of the Lord. So, in regards to fear, make declarations of trust, preach to yourself. Patiently wait and look for the dawn of our final salvation, and come behold the works of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for these wonderful declarations of trust in the face of fear, that are built on the foundation of who you are. You are our refuge and our strength and our present help in trouble. And the declaration that we will not fear is based on you and who you are and what you've done. And I pray that you, by your Spirit, would help us to understand that this is seen most prominently and most gloriously in the works of Jesus Christ, the works of salvation, the gospel. And I pray, Father God, that you would help us to, as we face fear, make those declarations of trust in who you are and what you've done. That, Father God, we would patiently wait for the dawn of our final salvation, which Christ has promised for us when he returns. And in the meantime, that we would come and behold all your glorious works. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.